Our scripture reading for today is taken from St. Paul's letter to the congregation at Ephesus, the sixth chapter, beginning with the first verse. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. And you, fathers, do not provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the training and admonition of the Lord. These are your words, Heavenly Father. Strengthen us through them. Your word is truth. Amen. Well, next to the role of parents, and in particular fathers, as displayed on television, that role there has gone through some notable changes in my lifetime. To think when I was a little boy of how Hugh Beaumont looked in Leave It to Beaver, and how Dick Van Dyke was when he came home and tripped over the ottoman, and Mr. C, Mr. Cunningham on Happy Days. And some people feel today that probably the most well-known father in American television today would be Homer Simpson. David Blankenhorn, a Harvard graduate who served in the Bush administration and is president for the Institute of American Values, in one of his recent books, he writes this. Tonight, about 40% of American children will go to sleep in homes in which their fathers do not live. Before they reach the age of 18, more than half of our nation's children are likely to spend at least a significant portion of their childhoods living apart from their fathers. The most important absence our society must confront is not the absence of fathers, but the absence of our belief in fathers. That's an interesting observation. Not just the absence of fathers, but the absence of our belief in fathers. Now, the sociological impact of this, and there are many impacts from this, but the sociological impact of this attitude shift in our culture is not our direct and chief concern. The concern of the Holy Christian Church and the members of the church is the lingering effect that this attitude has on the spiritual welfare of children. It has eternal consequences for many young people. There is a spiritual cancer and devastation that has impacted our society because of this. You young people are at a very interesting and important stage of your life. You are, in essence, straddling the words of our text. You are straddling childhood and adolescence that you've grown out of now as you're young adults, and you are looking forward to, or at least most of you, being parents someday, another very important estate in life. And St. Paul, by divine inspiration from the Holy Spirit, has these words for us regarding each of these estates, the one that you have come out of and the one that, Lord willing, someday you will enter. Our society today continues to diminish the role of parent and also to diminish the blessings of having children. I think that's one of the reasons why families have fewer children today than they did 30, 40 years ago. Our society today tells us what really should matter in your life is getting a good job, having a good career, being successful, making your mark in the world, get a big house, the nice car, the great vacations. How sad it is when even Christians fall into the trap of worldly thinking and forget just how highly God would have us consider the role of being a Christian parent. How deplorable it is that Christian women are made to feel foolish for desiring to be wives and mothers, even by fellow Christians, even by instructors. How shameful. Scripture instead would have us view our work or our career or our success in life in just the opposite way, as being supportive of the higher cause and calling that we will have as caring for our families and our children. Listen to what Luther writes in the Large Catechism. God has exalted fatherhood and motherhood above all other relations under his scepter. He does not command merely to love the parents, but to honor them. As to our brothers, sisters, and neighbors, God generally commands nothing higher than that we love them. But he distinguishes father and mother above all other persons upon earth and places them next to himself. Now, the reason God holds us in such high esteem is because he has designed these roles to be crucial and so extremely significant in the spiritual care and upbringing of children. I have been blessed to serve a few thousand church members in the time that I served as a pastor. I've known hundreds of college students now and so on. And I will say this, that it is very, very rare to run across an adult Christian who was not somehow blessed with having at least one Christian parent in his or her upbringing. You rarely run across an adult Christian who did not have at least a mom or dad, if not both, who cherished the means of grace, who loved Christ, who appreciated what he did on the cross to make atonement for all of our sins, who treasured the forgiveness of sins, who look forward to heaven. You rarely find somebody that has all of that now as an adult and expresses that who didn't have that somehow in their childhood from their parents. Those who came to faith without parental care involved somehow in the process are an extreme anomaly. From Satan's perspective, how wise it is for him to launch an all-out offensive on fatherhood and parenthood. How wise it is for him to tempt us to go along with the worldly thinking and attitude about these very important roles. Parenthood, by God's design, is an essential part of the mission of the church, to nourish and protect and encourage the gift of faith which the Holy Spirit alone works in the heart through the means of grace. To help and encourage and nourish and feed that faith, to continue to love Christ and his word and to stay with him until we reach heaven. A number of years ago, I was conducting a private baptism by the family's request, and one of the reasons they wanted it that way was there were about 50 people there and they didn't want to take up the whole sanctuary on a Sunday. And so there were two families that were present for this baptism. The one family was from our church, a very devout family and regularly in church. The grandfather of the little baby I had known for years and cared greatly about Christ and his word and was very reverent about that. The other family, however, the grandfather, I met him before this private baptism, and you could just tell that his attitude was, let's get this thing over with. This is so irrelevant and meaningless. He even made jokes about it and kind of made passing comments negatively about church and going to church and so on. And I remember as we did that little order of service, as that child was being baptized, I remember kind of looking up as we went through the order, and you could just actually see the different attitudes that those grandfathers had passed on to their kids, to the whole side of the family. You could just see it in their faces, the disdain in the one, and the reverence and devotion in the other. May we never minimize what a great impact we will have on future generations by how we treat and are concerned with the precious means of grace that God has given us, that alone can bring us into the mansions of heaven. May you young people be given the gift of faith by God to look at your future role as parent with the highest importance, that you have been chosen by God to help this little child stay with Christ, his or her Savior, and someday go through those wonderful gates that we look forward to. Amen. Today we have a prayer request, again on behalf of the Heidelberger family. We've been praying for this little baby Hazel Hazel passed away yesterday afternoon, and we'd like to offer a prayer today for her family. Lord God, our Heavenly Father, we come before you with saddened hearts for Angela and Ryan Heidelberger, who now have lost their little girl, Hazel. We thank you for the gift of holy baptism by which she was made a member of your church. We pray that you would now comfort these young parents with your word as they look forward to the reunion with their little girl someday in heaven with all of your saints. We ask it in Christ's saving name. Amen. Please now join me also in the prayer for Friday morning, which you find on page 170 in the front part of the hymn book. And let us rise. Abba, my dear Father, help me this morning and always that I may worship you in spirit and truth, and desire nothing but that which is in accord with your will. Enlighten me with your Holy Spirit, and cleanse my conscience from all dead works, that today and evermore I may serve you in faith in your Son, Jesus Christ, and in love to him. For you have given and bestowed upon me your beloved Son, who is made to me wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. Grant also that I may not resist your grace and turn your great gift from me, but that I may receive your Son in my heart and not live to myself, but to him who was delivered for my sins and was raised again for my justification. Lord, this shall be my glory and my joy, to draw from you as the true fountain for grace, strength and blessing unto every good work. Do not leave me nor forsake me. Amen.